Hello, I am Michelle Kaneko, and I'll be your host, your ghost host, on this episode of Parks and Pixie Dust, where we discover the magic of the Disneyland Resort. One particular aspect that Disneyland is known for, especially to regulars, is for food options. A guest can get anything from a hamburger and fries to maple leaf duck breast, if they know where to go. With so many different options available, it can be hard to keep track of your choices and very easy to spend the day eating junk food. When there are carts selling ice cream, churros, popcorn, cotton candy, and soda all throughout both parks, it becomes an easy option. That is, unless you are like our guest, Jessica McDonald. Her mission has become to spread healthy living via her blog, The Healthy Mouse. The articles posted relate to healthy food options in the Disneyland Resort, nutritious homemade Disney-inspired meals, as well as various lifestyle posts. On top of blogging about healthy options, she goes above and beyond by also including vegetarian and vegan options in many posts. Hello, Jessica. Are you ready to talk Disney?
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. It's great to have you on, especially since, like I just said, it's very easy to get absorbed in the churros and the beignets around the parks. It's always good to have a nice healthy option to keep you going through those 10,000, 20,000 step days.
Definitely, especially if you're an annual pass holder and you're going all the time. You definitely need to find ways to save money on the treats and find some healthier options. Since if you go a few times a week, that doesn't really work very well.
I can definitely understand that. Okay, so since this is a Disney-based show, I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit of your Disney backstory, how you maybe got into blogging about Disney food and Disney parks food.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Anaheim, California, where Disneyland is. And so Disneyland has always been a part of my childhood. I always saw the fireworks from my backyard. And my sisters and I, we were just really into watching Disney movies. And of course, we grew up during the time where some of the best Disney movies were made, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. So we were just always really obsessed with Disney movies. And then later when I was in junior high, I became an annual pass holder. And so my sisters and I always went to the parks. We were vegetarian. And then when we were teenagers, there was only one place where you could get a veggie burger, and that was the only vegetarian option, besides like getting a side order of fries, of course. And so it was making me want to kind of try to find meal hacks and things like that. Now, of course, the parks have a lot more vegetarian options nowadays, but just since I loved Disney so much and I was so passionate about cooking my own food at home, being a vegetarian, I wanted to make my food more interesting than what restaurants offered me, especially what Disneyland offered me. So that's kind of how I started infusing Disney inspirations into cooking. And I just had so much fun with it. I had a few friends who were like, why aren't you starting your own blog with your recipes? So I did, and I hoped people would like it, but it seemed like there were so many more people. Once I started it, I realized there were so many more people out there who needed something like that, who needed food guides to Disneyland for vegetarian or just generally healthy eating, or who wanted healthy Disney-inspired recipes.
Oh, that is really interesting. You mentioned that you were a vegetarian in middle school. Mm-hmm. I assume that you're still a vegetarian now?
I am, yes.
Is there maybe someone in your life that inspired you to go vegetarian, or did you grow up vegetarian?
A little bit of both. So I have a few family members who are vegetarian. And so because of that, so at so many family functions, you know, there wouldn't be meat, there'd be vegetarian options. So I didn't really grow up eating a lot of meat. So I would notice when I did eat meat, I would feel like really tired or sluggish, or, you know, I just didn't feel like as energized, or I didn't really enjoy the taste that much. Just kind of, you know, if you're not used to eating something, it tastes like, oh, I'm not used to this taste. Kind of like if you've never drinking black coffee before, it doesn't taste good. It's like an acquired taste. So I just wasn't really into it. And so it just kind of gradually happened where I just didn't really eat that much meat. So then when I did eat it, I didn't really enjoy the taste. So I kind of just stopped. So it kind of happened by accident. But a big part of it was like the energy aspect. I felt like I had a lot more energy when I didn't eat meat.
Well, that's always good. What's important is that you're getting protein in your diet. So as long as you have the protein, you don't necessarily need the meat. So it all works out.
Yeah, definitely.
So how long have you been blogging on The Healthy Mouse?
You know, I've just been blogging for a year and a half on it. But I knew I needed a job. Like, since I have a daughter, I knew I needed a job where I could work from home, just because, you know, the price of childcare is so expensive. By the time you're working, you're not really making a profit. So I knew I needed a job to work from home. I wanted to really take the steps to do something that I was passionate about. So I started the blog, and it was really fortunate that I needed to find a job to work from home, because it really pushed me to push my blog. Like, I was like, I need to make sure I have lots and lots and lots of content. Since I'm a newer blog, all the older blogs, of course, have the advantage of having lots of content out in social media, so it's easier for someone to stumble upon their blog on Pinterest or Instagram. So I was like, okay, since I'm new, I gotta hit the ground running. And so I would create, you know, 5 posts a week, so it was more likely that people would see my content. And I just really just put myself out there and treated this like a full-time job, and it really helped grow my brand really fast. But it was a lot of hard work, but it was worth it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Putting up 5 blogs, that's definitely a lot. I applaud you.
Thank you.
Yes, going through, I would have not guessed that it's only been a year and a half. You can go through. There are posts on Disneyland food. There are pages upon pages of Disneyland, of a Disney-inspired food, as well as so many lifestyle posts, like I said before, about various trips. I believe one of the ones was a recent trip to the zoo and some kind of healthy options there.
Yes, and there's also one that might be really fun for your Disney fans. There's one from last year about Disneyland Paris and going there and eating super affordably. I got to do that last year, so I put that up there as well. And yeah, I think it's just mainly, it has like, yeah, the eating guides. It has like some crafts here and there, but it's mainly Disney-inspired healthy recipes that you can make at home. And to kind of help inspire people on ways you can eat healthy that are also full of taste and full of fun. Since I know a lot of times people who are newer to cooking healthy foods at home, you know, think like, how can I cook healthy but also make it interesting and not taste bland? So that's kind of what I'm hoping to inspire people to do, is that you can eat healthy and still have it taste amazing.
Well, yes, good tasting food is always very important. It's probably why a lot of people tend to gravitate towards unhealthy, sugary food. So good food that's also healthy for you, double win.
Yes, and that's also why I put up a lot of like sugar-free desserts. Like, everything on my site is refined sugar-free, so like desserts that are a little healthier for you, so satisfy your sweet tooth, because I do have a sweet tooth.
It's definitely a good way to trick little ones into eating stuff that's a little bit healthier.
Yes, for sure. I love to do a lot of like simple food art. It really does help encourage kids to eat healthier. Like, if they see, you know, like if they saw like a plate of chicken that was like chicken nuggets that was in front of them, or they saw a plate that had, I don't know, carrots, grapes, and apples, but it was like done in a Mickey shape, they would most likely want the thing that was in the Mickey shape, because it's easier for them to just, they're more visual. They're just like, oh my gosh, that's shaped like a Mickey. That's the one I want to eat. It really does help get them excited to eat healthier.
Yes, one that I hope I'm remembering correctly from going over your blog, the one that was in the shape of Pumbaa.
Yes. That was adorable. Yeah, I made like a healthy chocolate pancake that was like in the shape of the Pumbaa emoji, like from the Disney emoji game. And then used like bananas for his tusks and like a strawberry cream cheese for his nose.
It was very cute and looked very delicious.
Thank you. It was great. It tasted kind of like chocolate, like a chocolate milk pancake. It was really good and very fluffy.
Okay, so when you inform others that you run a blog that has a focus on healthy Disney food, what's the typical response that you get to that?
Oh my gosh. You know, it really depends on who's asking. Like if it's somebody who I know is a fan of Disney or somebody who works at Disney, they'll be like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. And then more often than not, they'll go into a story of like, oh, well, that's really good for me to know because I'm a pescatarian or I'm a vegan or I'm gluten free and I really want to know what options there are. Or they'll say, oh, I need to come up with healthier options to cook at home to get my kids excited about healthy eating. That's perfect. If it's like in a situation where, like, I don't know, I'm getting my hair cut or something and it's just like a hairdresser making conversation being like, what do you do? And I explain, I feel like they're like, what? Like and it's really common. A lot of people don't really understand like what does a blogger do or like why. Or they're not really into Disney, so they're like, what? All you do is write about Disney? That's crazy. Because to people who aren't Disney fans, it seems totally bizarre. And then people who love Disney think that's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, that is great, too. They get such a positive response to it. Because that was definitely my response when I first saw your blog.
Thank you.
It's a very good twist on Disney.
Yeah, something that a lot of people kind of will sometimes think when they see my blog is, oh, well, are you saying I should never get a churro or I should never get a Mickey ice cream bar? And like, I get those things once in a while too. But like I was saying, if you go all the time or if you're going for a really long trip, it's good to know your other options so that the treats, you know, feel more like treats and not like, oh, this is all that's available for me to eat. And I feel like having that really specific niche has really helped grow my brand to what it is. Since there are a lot of Disney blogs out there, I feel like having the focus on healthy eating has really helped grow my brand. Since when people are looking for those options, a lot of people think of me, which is what I was hoping. So that's awesome.
Oh, it's definitely awesome. Okay, so on your blog with the recipes that you post based on Disneyland meals as well as the dishes inspired by Disney movies, what is your typical process to create the dishes?
Do you mean coming up with the ideas, like when I'm brainstorming what I'm going to blog about? Or do you mean when I'm actually like sitting or when I'm actually going to the kitchen to make the meal?
When you're thinking about what to blog about, like with Pumbaa, how did you come up with the idea to make a healthy chocolate pancake in the shape of Pumbaa?
Yeah, so each month I'll try to figure out, okay, what recipes do I want to create? What blog posts do I want to create this month? And so I'll sit down and kind of decide what I'm going to do for the month. I try to do at least a recipe a week and then a Disney eating guide a week. And then the third one, it can kind of be like a wild card depending on what randomly inspires me. Like if I'm inspired to make a recipe or a craft, you know, I kind of leave that open. But how I decide what I'm going to do is first I look, okay, what food holidays are there this month? Because that always helps jog inspiration. I'll be like, oh, it's National Popcorn Day this month. It's next month, October, it's National Apple Month. So that's giving me lots of inspiration. So I always look at that first, and then I'll go to Wikipedia and I'll look at the complete list of Disney movies and see if any Disney movies are having any anniversaries. Like, is this the anniversary of when Sleeping Beauty came out? Because then I'll do something centered around that. Since I know on days where there's going to be movie anniversaries or national food holidays, I'll know things with those hashtags more people will be looking at and increases my chances of people coming across my blog. So first I look at food holidays, then movie anniversaries, or if there's a new Disney movie coming out or a Disney movie coming out on Blu-ray, and I kind of center it around that. And like I said, so that's the majority of how I figure out what I'm going to do. And then another piece of it is just if I randomly come up with an idea in my head. And then the eating guides, I'll decide. I have a group on Facebook called the Healthy Mouseketeers, and anyone could like search for it and request to join it. And people will just post like healthy recipes, sometimes healthy Disney recipes, but or healthy foods they find at Disneyland. Just a group where people can like share that's their finds and things like that. And a lot of times I'll put up polls saying, do you want me to do research on vegan options, gluten-free? Like, I'll create a poll of which park, which option. So that's kind of how I figure that out, that part.
Oh, that's a really cool process, especially staying up to date, staying very relevant, staying ahead of the curve by making sure that you know what food holidays are coming up, especially with so many different food holidays and apples, especially so much to work with there. Disney.
Oh, for sure. And for kids, kids love apples.
So I will be guessing there is a Snow White recipe coming up.
Yes, yes. For sure, there's going to be a Snow White recipe. It's going to be in October, but this weekend I just set up a toddler Halloween party that's all Mickey themed and all in like everything, every recipe is apples. So that's also another process of the blogger life of, this is going to be a Halloween party, but we're going to have it in September because I need time to edit it, the video and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a really fun party.
Yeah.
Hopefully all the little ones have fun.
They did. We had it this past weekend. They had fun. It was good. Yeah, I just have to release the post. It'll be coming soon.
Okay, so along with looking up the food holidays and the movie release dates, do you ever get input from family members do they ever come up to you and say, hey, there's this really cool recipe I just found. Maybe you can find a way to Disney-fy it.
Yeah. You know what? Not so much for my mom and my grandparents. Like, they like Disney, but they're not like, you know, huge Disney fans like I am. I mean, I think I'm probably the biggest Disney fan in my family, but since I do have a lot of friends who are Disney bloggers or also love Disney, they will. Yeah, they'll mention things like that. They'll be like, oh, like, I'm gluten-free. It'd be cool if you could make like this, like a pumpkin pie that's gluten-free or something like that. You know, they'll think, oh, it would be cool if you did a copycat recipe of this Disney Parks item, but fit it to my dietary, you know, needs, that sort of thing. So I do get a lot of inspiration from my friends. It wasn't a blog post. It was just a post for Instagram that I did this morning. Weeks ago, I had posted watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew that I used a melon baller on. So it was all these like balls of fruit that I clumped together in a big circle. And then I put a little drawing of an up house underneath. So the melon balls look like the balloons on the up house. And then I had friends be like, oh my gosh, you could do that with like the inside out memory balls too. So I just posted that this morning where it's like joy and sadness and like all these rows of memory balls, but it's fruit.
So
I do get a lot of inspiration from my friends, thank goodness, because sometimes, you know, you'll have months where you have lots of inspiration and the months where you're like, oh, I need ideas.
Well, it is good to get, not to quote the song, but a little help from your friends.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so do you have any particular recipes or posts that you would like our listeners to know about?
Let's see. Well, yes, the food guides, for sure, I feel like are really helpful. I have a tab on the top of my blog, thehealthymouse.com, where you could click on Disney food guides and see them all there. I have an upcoming one next week that I think people will find really helpful. It's a video and a blog post where it's 24 healthy snacks under $4 that you can find at Disneyland. I do a lot of freelance work for Disney Family, which is a blog, a Disney owned blog where they do crafts and recipes. I have a lot of, posts on their page. When you open the post, it'll say who it's by, but I do like a princess smoothie bowl series for them. So I'm really proud of the princess smoothie bowls. So you could check those out at DisneyFamily.com. I should have looked at my Instagram before I came here. I'm trying to think if there's like a particular post, but I think just the eating guides, the smoothie bowls, and If you go to the video page on my Facebook, The Healthy Mouse, you'll see lots of fun recipe videos. Like I did Disney princess inspired pizzas and things like that.
All those all sound like great posts. The eating guides especially will be very helpful to our listeners.
Yeah.
And so the Disney parks tend to do a fairly good job at accommodating healthy options, especially in comparison to how you said when you were a kid, there was only the veggie burgers.
Mm-hmm.
How would you improve the current system, maybe add in more healthy options?
Yeah, well, definitely I would add in more vegan options since there are more and more people going vegan or at least dairy-free. But they do have a pretty good amount of items. I think probably the biggest change they could make is not making those items hidden. Like a lot of times you have to ask for an allergy-friendly menu, or you have to ask for the gluten-free menu, or you have to know about secret menu items that are vegetarian. And if you ask for those menus, they actually do have quite a bit of options. So I really think that if they just make those options more well-known and just have them on the regular menu rather than hidden menus, that would help. And also I would love if they made the vegetarian options, like, rather than just vegetables, if maybe they made them a little more interesting, like maybe had some more options with tofu or maybe some more options with, like fake meat, like the fake chicken and things like that, like Morningstar, like you could buy at the store. Like maybe if they infuse something like that, which they do at some places at Disney World, I'd love if they did that at Disneyland.
Okay, so one last question, since sure. This is a Disneyland-based show, if someone came up to you and said, hey, I'm planning a day at Disneyland. I want my day to be healthy. Where should I go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Okay. Well, let's see. So my favorite go-to for breakfast, it's not necessarily a specifically unique Disneyland like breakfast to have, but I just really love going to Market House, which is basically a Starbucks, but it's on Main Street. And I like going there because they do have a lot of vegetarian options and you could get a lot of sandwiches that are gluten-free and with whole grains. And it is really affordable. So I probably go there most often for breakfast. And I honestly like to grab and go breakfast so I can rush and get in line for a big ride right at opening. For lunch, I really like, if you're over by the Disneyland Hotel area, I really like their crispy tofu salad at Tungaroa Terrace. You can also order it at Trader Sam's if you ask. It's not a boring salad at all. It's really hearty and it has like lots of macadamia nuts and pineapple flavor. And then for dinner, I really like at Red Rose Tavern in Fantasyland, which used to be Village House, but now it's Beauty and the Beast themed, is they have a cauliflower steak sandwich. So it's a big, lightly battered, like it's very lightly battered. It's not deep fried cauliflower, and it has tempura green beans and this chipotle aioli on ciabatta bread, and I think that is really, really good. And I like their vegetarian gumbo. So if you don't want to go all the way to Disneyland Hotel, that would be a good lunch option too.
Well, those all sound delicious. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
It looks like we're starting to run out of time. Thank you for this wonderful discussion on how to stay healthy in Disney and even out of Disney, how to maybe inspire kids or teenagers to eat healthy options. I'm definitely going to have to try some of your suggestions on your next trip or just when I get home for dinner. Just look through your blog, come up with something.
Yeah, please let me know what you try. Thank you so much for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening to Parks and Pixie Dust with our guest, Jessica McDonald. This is Michelle Konecko reporting for KPCRadio.com.